Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. We're here with someone that I have known since he was in St. Joseph's High School. His name is Tim Jones. He's now on New York, performing in New York. He's home for the holidays. And we are fortunate enough, and I mean this, we are fortunate enough, he's going to be performing December the 13th. He'll give you all the details. At the Colonial Theater on South Street in the garage section. Now, I must tell you this in full disclosure. He was here last year. He did it last year. And we went to the show, the Polish Princess and I, and I have to tell you, I went in there tighter than a $2 watch because of the holidays, all we have going, the show, blah, blah, blah. I walked out of there totally relaxed, totally entertained. He's got a wonderful voice. And the only thing you have to do, you really have to do it, get your tickets now because it is limited. It's not like the Big House where there's 800 seats, so you could be like in the balcony by yourself. This is, you will not be by, but a wonderful group of people. They keep the bar open. Not as an encouragement to drink, but if you want to have a cocktail and sit, here's how I like sitting in a lounge in Vegas, being entertained by a great entertainer, relaxing, getting away from blah, 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 blah. And when I left, and I will tell you, the Polish Princess was the same, we were totally geared down. And so without further ado, without me saying all these things about him, I'd like to introduce Tim Jones, star of stage and whatever. But
good morning, Bill. Good
morning. How are
you,
buddy?
So much. I'm doing so well. As you said, we're going to be in the garage on Saturday, December 13th. The show starts at 7:30. The tickets are $20. And I'm so glad to hear that you left relaxed. That's kind of the central.
Yeah.
That's the primary function of this entire show. It's so much, and it's always been so much. We've always done this. We say, okay, here comes the month where I will never rest. And we're all going to get sick about halfway through it because we're trying to make it all happen. And then you get sick, and then you get better just in time to see the person. I'm just glad that I wasn't sick when she came around. It's every single year we do this. And I just wanted so badly for us to just spend a night together.
Yeah.
With everyone just listening to the music that you love to hear in your favorite movies, love to hear on whatever that channel on the radio that you go, oh, they always play the stuff that I like this time of year. Let's get that going. I really like taking all of the swing and the jazz music from that season, but specifically from that time. It's some of my favorite stuff to listen to. It makes me think of Pittsfield. It makes me feel like I'm home whenever I'm not there. I would listen to Nat King Cole's Christmas album in the middle of July if I was away from town, because it would make me feel like I was back home. That's an album we always listen to in our house. We would have Nat's Christmas. We would do James Taylor's Christmas, Barbra Streisand, Kenny G. Kenny G's 2001 Christmas album.
Wow.
Which is a weirdly specific one, but it's specifically his... I think it's, oh, is it called Stars? I forget quite what it's called, but Kenny G, it's just, they stay in on rotation on the entertainment. They're in there year round, and we just hit the power button on Thanksgiving and then kick it off.
Oh, cool.
So I'm just glad that music means to other people and meant to other people last year what it means to me, enough for us to get to bring this show back.
Right.
I couldn't be more excited to be back in the garage doing the show again.
It's a great venue for that kind of a show, the intimacy. And I think you add to that because you engage. You're not standing on a platform juggling, you know, bottles or whatever. You're engaging people and I will tell you, and I said this before, it's like going to a show in a Vegas, when you go to one of the shows out in Vegas. It's entertaining. You're relaxed. But the entertainment is top class. And because he looks young, okay, because I look old. But if I look like him, then it would be two young guys. Tim brings real vibes to the entertainment.
Thanks,
To
Bill.
Performance.
I mean, my body was born in
called in.
1996. My body was born in 1996. My soul was born in, I think, 1928. I think that's why this music has sort of connected with me in a way that makes no sense for my peers or my age group.
Well, I've been to a lot of shows in my lifetime, as you probably can imagine, and some of them it's pretty obvious to tell they're just calling it in.
Sure.
It's just a job. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Let's say you're different. You come out with warmth. You're warm throughout the show. You're entertaining. Your voice is wonderful. And then when it ends, people are going, oh, wow, that was great. And I had
Oh, I'm
people
so
right
glad.
around me say that, hey, this was great.
I was, you know, part of me, I knew the thing that we want to do with this, because I had so many opportunities that were given to me by Berkshire Theater Group. I wouldn't be in this industry in the way that I am if not for the opportunities that they've given me and continue to give me over the course of the years that I, from a teenager, I mean, even just them letting me do more responsible, have higher levels of responsibility within the context of A Christmas Carol as a high schooler, with no real plans to go into the theater as a profession, but just as a young person expressing themselves. The fact that they have again and again provided me with more responsibility and more opportunity, I knew I wanted to ask them for the permission to do this show, because I felt like I didn't have an answer. If I thought of the question, you know, what is there that's happening in my town right now that is at this time of year that I think it's so important to be reinvesting into the community? Is there anything that I know is definitely doing that I can direct people to? If there's anything, like, what do I already know about? And I realized that I didn't know already what sort of resource I could point, or organizations. I wasn't particularly educated on it. And I said, well, what I think I want to try to be one of those people then. I want to try to make that thing happen. I wanted to do a show doing my favorite thing, which is singing holiday tunes and swing tunes and holiday seasonal jazz. And I wanted to make that a way in which we could funnel resources into the Berkshire community in a way that is important to me. And what we ended up settling on and working with was that we do a toy drive with the sheriff's department. We do Toys for Tots at this event. So for people listening, if on Saturday the 13th at 7:30 p.m. you find yourself getting a $20 ticket well ahead of time and join us, we ask that you also bring a new unwrapped toy for a child, from a newborn baby all the way up to about age 14. We have a big table. The table was overflowing last year. I could not have been happier that people were bringing along something that went to a child. Like we pass those over to the sheriff's department. They run Toys for Tots, and we work with them, and they really get these to kids who otherwise, like, might not get anything, if not, you know, not as much as the rest of us. People were really showing up for kids in the Berkshire community in a way that blew me away. I was over the moon about that. And not only that, but ticket proceeds from the show go into Berkshire Theater Group's youth education program, which gives opportunities to kids in the Berkshire school systems, kids in the Berkshire County area, provides them with opportunities to learn about the arts, learn about performing, build their confidence, build their public speaking skills, whether or not they want to go into the industry the way that I did. They deserve those opportunities to just talk as much as Bill and I do. We're very good at it. And we have to get that from somewhere, right? I wasn't the quiet kid in class. I know that much.
Well, I spent as much time in the principals, and in fact, a lot of the staff thought I worked there. I would also say too that Tim's career, I would say, was a seed when he was at St. Joseph Central Catholic High School.
Absolutely.
But then he bumped into this lady called Elizabeth Lil Quinn. And all of a sudden, Lil Quinn did a show every year. Now, my son will tell you the story about All right, football season's over. You football players, you're going to be tryout for the play. And there it
Here's
was.
some eyeliner.
Yeah. Lil Quinn is the essence of Catholic education. It's holistic. She's smart. And she's retired now, and St. Joe's closed, which breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But Tim got a start there. Lil Quinn was the foundation, helped you see this career field.
She pulled me into her office to audition for a musical, which I wanted to be a part of because I had a crush on one of my classmates and she was doing the musical. So that just that was, that was that taken care of. And I sang a song from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in her office, and she said, "You've got the part." And I said, "What part?" She said, "I'll figure it out." And she put me in the musical, and I ended up loving it so much. She pulled me aside so many times, and she said, she said, "You have a gift. You have a spark. There's a flame inside of you. You have to use it. You must use it." She said that to me so many times, and I would not be where I am now if she did not pour her entire heart and her entire being into recognizing and reinforcing this thing that was in me that I didn't even understand at the time. I didn't want to perform for people. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't really know or care whether or not I was good at it. And she, at a time where that was really important for me to hear that I should commit myself to getting to doing the work and getting better at something, she told me so many times, it's even still, it makes me a little bit emotional. She created this monster in a way that I can never forgive her. And oh God, I owe it all to her of starting this with her encouragement and for a student who just, was just singing some songs and making some jokes. I wasn't doing, I had no direction. I didn't really have any focus to it. It was just, I was the youngest of a family of four with a lot of Sicilian blood in our veins. Like, I'm just this loud. I just was born this way. And humor was the way that I would sort of seek attention in my
Absolutely.
family and in public. And she just recognized that and said, that's a powerful tool. You should learn how to wield it. Let's find ways for you to wield it. And she gave me parts in plays and in musicals, and she helped me love and fall in love with an art form. I never really wanted to be an artist. And now after, transforming so much, I mean, God, like I'm a writer now. Like all of these things that I am now that are, avenues through which I express myself, it's like she's at the center of that. And I know that she's at the center of that for so many people and their particular passions, be it academia, be it the sciences or literature or whatever it is. She did so much for so many kids. She made them her entire being. I run into them now, and the first thing we talk about is Mrs. Quinn. Still, I'll run into people that I knew from St. Joe, and they'll make the same comment you say. Remember when I played football, and then she would have me in plays with you, but you were the one who wanted to be in the play, and I just wanted to be playing football? We still have those conversations when we run into each other. It's just she was doing something so fantastic just to just present kids with the opportunity to become robust, well-rounded human beings. And oh my, it's just she did it forever. She did it for every kid.
It was.
I hold her so dearly in my heart. And we are always thinking of each other, and I know that. But she feels that way about every kid she invested her energy into. She
She
did it.
was St. Joseph Central Catholic High School.
She was, and we are her. Like
And all of
we
you
have
are
her.
replicas of her and her. Now, when you went to school to be an engineer.
I did, I got like a one and a two on my AP calculus and physics and chemistry exams, and I got like a 4 and a 5 in my literature and history exams. And I said, you know what I should do? I should become an engineer. And I figured it out. It was a work ethic issue. It wasn't so much a smarts issue. I did very well at Worcester Polytechnic Institute in Worcester, Massachusetts. I ended up getting my master's there. I have a master's in aerospace engineering. And Berkshire Theater Group had me. I realized, I think like my junior year, I went through like a big breakup. And I was just like laying the floor on the floor of my dorm room. And I was like, I just want to sing. And so I called Berkshire Theater and they said, well, we have a musical in the summer. Why don't you come back? And I was working for General Dynamics at the time. I would be at the desk during the day, and then I would go into rehearsals at the first at the church on Park Square, and we would rehearse. And I felt that feeling again, and I knew that that was it for me. I said, I'm gonna push this envelope until I hit the end of the table, and I just haven't hit the end of a table yet. I'm shocked by. So BTG just they kept presenting me with opportunities. Kate McGuire gave me everything I needed to go and live in New York. They took care of me. Everything, my first gig in New York, like a huge gig, came through my relationships with the people I worked with at Berkshire Theater. Like I just met people who are going to be with me my entire life. They are, they're part of my story and will always be. I've taken so many of them with me and continued to work with them on projects that I've started. They've just given me everything. So I'm really excited that I get to do something for them that serves the community of Pittsfield and surrounding towns and villages and hamlets of Berkshire County. 'Cause it's so important that these kids have access to the arts the way I did, 'cause we don't know how fragile that is. It needs to be preserved. We can't have people saying, well, we can't afford it. We can't, don't worry. They can read Catcher in the Rye and they'll be fine. Like they need to read plays. They need to learn how to speak. They need to be on a stage and know what that's like. Like it'll build their confidence. So I'm just glad we can get some resources into their programs through this show. It's so important.
December the 13th, Saturday night, 7:30, the garage. And now let me just share this with you folks. Last year it was sold out. We were at max capacity for the garage. Don't procrastinate. So, you know what? I'm going to do that tomorrow. No, do that now. Call the box office and because all I can tell you is you will leave there entertained, relaxed, and probably in better in touch with the season through old-fashioned music. And I think back on our experience last year, and but when I went in there, I was wired tighter than a $2 watch. I mean, we had been here, but and I went in there and I sat down and I got a Diet Coke, really, truly Diet Coke. Could have gotten something stronger, but I never drink and drive, never. So anyhow,
Sure.
I sat there, and he came out and he was so relaxed, and all of a sudden, everybody's leaning forward. And when I go to various places, I was telling somebody this the other day at the Unicorn. I sit in the back row to watch the people
Oh,
leaning
yeah.
forward. That's when people are engaged, when they're leaning forward. And everybody in that place was leaning forward, including the old fat bald guy, me. So it is a wonderful opportunity to hear a local kiddo, because he is a kid. I mean, I got socks older than he is. I'm wearing them. But he's chasing his own dream. And my father-in-law, God rest his soul, was a tree surgeon, graduated from the Stockbridge School.
Oh, yeah.
And he had five kids. And there wasn't a lot of tree surgeon work. There wasn't a lot of money in trees being a tree surgeon. So he went to work in the General Electric. Now, he loved the General Electric, But he said to me, make sure you do something with your life that you love doing every day. Because he said, every day I got to those gates and I hated walking through them.
Sure.
He's an outdoors guy.
Yeah.
And Tim, you're kind of doing that. You have a master's degree in aeronautical engineering. I can't even spell that. And so, you're going after and you're being successful. And I think you also, your mom and dad, I can't even imagine what, oh, hey, mom and dad, I got this great job at wherever. I think I'm going to follow my dream and be an artist.
Yeah, I mean, I really dealt them a very easy hand with that with that confession, didn't I? And I applaud my parents every time I get the opportunity to do work in this business, because it's an overwhelming minority of people who get to work as artists.
Oh yes.
It's so rare, but it's also it's this thing we all love: watching television, watching movies, listening to music. Like, art has such a deep, we don't go a single day, even if it's commercial art. It's not like we're listening to, you know, like fringe, you know, new rock or whatever. You don't have to. Even if you're listening to pop music, like, that came from the heart of an artist. A lot of people worked on that.
Yeah.
So having people who acknowledge that that's a deck that is heavily stacked against you, deciding to go into that industry, the fact that they just said, we just care about you doing what you love. I don't even know if I would do the same thing if I were in the, especially now being in the business. If my kid came to me, you know, you might say, like, no, you're gonna get a plumber's certification or something. Someone who will, you'll get an RN.
Yeah.
Someone who will always work. It's just they've supported me the entire time. They encourage me. They're excited. They show up to everything. I have to keep them away from some things that I do, because they'd have to travel. Like, my girlfriend and I, she's in the business with me as well. She'll be performing at the show with me. So if anyone is daunted at the sound of a man's voice, don't worry, there will be some of a woman singing as well.
That's great.
And she's a great singer. But we would work out in Missouri, and my parents would be like, well, where's the airport? And we would say, don't worry. Don't, please.
I used to live in the Midwest. No, no.
I loved it.
But you know that I think a lesson here, and why I brought it up, because I do have a script for the show, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Why I brought it up was very specific. Parents, listen to your kiddos. They're going to come with dreams. I want to be a professional basketball player, but you're only 5'3". So a spud rep, right? I mean, whatever, 5'6". I think a wonderful lesson is learned here. It's not been easy for him to be successful in this career field. And he didn't go to New York and all of the talent agent says, you're here.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. There
yeah,
he is.
Thank God you're here. But
we've had the phones on hold this whole time.
But the point is, he's following a dream. He's young enough to do it. If it works out, fine. If it doesn't, he's got some kind of career to fall back on. You know, but seriously, I, as you know, I've worked with violent youthful offenders. I've worked with kids. We have to start listening better. Listening. Hearing's one thing that they can fix with a hearing aid. Ask my wife. But listening is a whole different thing. And I'm sure, because I know his mom, she's taken very good care of me at the rehab center, at pulmonary rehab. And his dad is a wonderful man. I'm sure they listened. And because if you really listen, you can hear the heart.
I totally agree with you. I think every person, every human being, Because you know, a parent's, and I, you know, I say this as a young person with no child, so what do I know? But as a child of people, which I
Yeah.
can't speak to, everyone, you do what you can to sort of, you know, you give a person, a human being, the foundation they need to become whatever they need to become, because
Exactly.
they're going to have things that they are passionate about and that they care about. But the thing about like passions that is the most interesting, whether that be a lucrative passion or something that might be an uphill battle, if somebody is pursuing and actively working towards something that they love, they will likely work, I would be willing to guess, 200% times harder
Oh,
toward
absolutely.
that thing because they care about that thing working. It's if it's someone who says, well, I don't really care very much about being a good accountant. I was a really good engineer, but whether or not I was going to be a great one, like was it was, you know, was I super emotionally invested in that? Like, I don't even know. I wasn't asking
Right.
myself those questions. I was just sort of doing it. But do I care about what I do as a, do I care about this being a good show? I lose sleep over this being a good
Yeah.
show. Like,
Yeah.
I've already lost sleep
Yeah.
trying to make, because now I want it to be better than it was last year. I go, okay, we did that show. Now, how can I do it so that people who saw the first show get to come back and say, well, look at that. What was something that was new, that was interesting. We didn't really see that. Like that's what I lose sleep about. I want the people who are coming back to have a better time than they did last time. I don't want them to have the same evening. I want them to have a more enjoyable
Yeah.
time.
And
And I hope I can do that. But you know, it's we care so very much. We're working with such incredible musicians, Ben Cohn, John Suters, and Connor Meehan, and all the work that they've done to put this show together with me. They're such fantastic jazz musicians. I had the easiest time working with them, and they're such insanely good performers. I lucked out so much
cool.
with them,
Yeah.
and with my girlfriend Megan Mastretta, who's going to be singing. But like, I have so many people who have cast their lot with me to make this a great show, and I'm so happy with all of the work people in my circle have invested also in me, so that we can make something that we care about being good, so that people can come and just, we did the work. We already did the work. You
I can
just
attest
show up on
last
Saturday.
year. From last year and from knowing Tim, I can attest that they have rehearsed and they're ready and they're going to give one terrific show. I mean, even if it was half of last year, which it probably will be more, it will probably more be more than, but when I think back when I was getting ready for this, I was talking to the Polish princess about how wonderful he came across. He's real. He's not plastic. He's not calling it in. Hi, how you doing? I'm here tonight. Gonna sing a few songs for you, Baba. I've been to shows like that. I really have. I will just mention one carefully. In our opinion, we went to see Cabaret that had played w probably 1 year too long in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago, and came home and saw Cabaret at Taconic.
Yeah.
And it was a better show.
Oh, yeah.
It was a better show, or PH, one of them. But all I'm saying is that on December 16th, if you need to get away, if you need to just, I gotta chill out, I gotta calm down, I've gotta just get some relaxation. December 16th, 13th,
13th.
13th, what did I say, 16th? December 13th, Saturday night. Please, please don't procrastinate. Really and truly, I say this, but people, I really do mean this when I say it. You have to get your tickets because it's limited spacing, and Tim has a local following. Let's not forget that. He has.
My
Just
fan club.
brings his family, that takes up half the space.
Yeah, well, I just checked here. If you Google Berkshire Theater Jazz, I'm the third thing that comes. It's BTG's website, but it's right there on Google, the third thing. If you just search Berkshire Theater Jazz, you can get your tickets right there. They're $20. The show's at 7:30. We're really excited. It's gonna be about a lot of my love and feelings around the holiday season and what all of it means, what it was like growing up in Pittsfield with the holidays, going to New York, growing up, sort of
When
how
we come
that
back from
changes.
break, we'll talk about New York.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. It is this old friend of mine in government used to say, "What's his bona fides?" And whatever. We're gonna take a break. I am here, and I am honored and privileged, and really lucky to have with me somebody of Tim's talent. And he's asked the only thing he's asked me if I come, please don't sing, and that I can understand because Sister Maria John kicked me out of the third grade choir, so we'll go
Does that
from
mean we're cutting your solo? I thought we had a whole solo for you. We worked
yeah.
that out.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
solo.
so it's
You could
cut.
hear me,
Okay.
yeah.
I'll let the
We're
band
gonna
know
take
that
a
it's cut.
break. We're gonna go. This is 89.7 WTBR on your FM dial and PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum cable. We are also, for you Southern Berkshire people, get up here. You'll enjoy it. We are broadcasting on now on 88.1 in Southern Berkshire FM. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure? Coming to you on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. Yes, the good-looking guy is not me. I know. Thank you for that.
It's both of us.
Good-looking guy is Tim Jones. He's performing at the Colonial in the Garage on December the 13th. Show starts at 7:30. I can tell you this. We went to it last year. It is worth your time. It is a wonderful holiday season show that when you leave there, if you go in and just relax, you'll have a wonderful time and you will leave relaxed. So, and Tim went to St. Joe, trained at Berkshire, if you're just tuning in, trained at Berkshire Theater Group, then got a master's degree in aeronautical engineering, and then decided he wanted to go into the group, the arts, and headed off to New York. And how was that trip?
It's when you condense it into three sentences like that, Bill, it makes me realize that I think when I was playing the board game of life as a kid, I
Yeah.
think I took that as a script of some kind where it's,
Yeah.
you become a plumber and then buy a Bugatti. Like it's just
Yeah.
the,
Yeah.
super, super left and right everywhere. New York, I mean, we're just outside New York now. We actually we're in a house.
Wow.
We're not living in squalor the way that we were
Wow.
the first several
Well,
years.
but I think that's a lot of people, and you know this far more than I do. But I know of people who packed up and gone to New York and spent a month there and came home dejected and rejected. And it's not going to happen overnight, and you
Sure.
have to work at it.
It is for I mean, for what it's worth, we are from where we're living right now, we're still in New York like every week. We have to go
Yeah.
into the city for things. So we chose somewhere that we had that access because we have to go in for auditions. We have to go in for cut. But hey, I mean that's the sign that things went pretty well, that we were able to,
Exactly.
upgrade things a little bit. Which I just am, I never thought we would, I never thought we'd be able to do it. I thought I was going to live in a shoebox for the rest of my life. And we did for a period of time. We had, our first apartment, what was it? The first month we were in there, the ceiling caved in. The closet caved in while we were off on a gig. So we came back and all of our clothes were still wet from 2 months earlier. So our entire wardrobe was ruined. We had the full New York experience.
Yeah.
In our early apartments,
But I think that's worth sharing because the Army had a saying, improvise and overcome.
oh yeah, we did a
And
lot of that.
if this is the career path you take, be prepared for setbacks, hiccups, cancellations, whatever.
It was arduous. It was a lot of, I mean, for both of us, my girlfriend and I moved in together right after we got our COVID vaccines. That this was sort of the time that everyone's lease had
Yeah.
been wiped clean. Everyone left New York. So then when we were moving back, we said, like, well, we're not on a weird lease schedule. It's not like, well, let's move in together, but one of us has a lease in January and the other one's lease is in June. It's all, sort of mismatched. We moved back at the same time. We moved into an apartment together. We were at that apartment for 2, 3 years or so. We got to upgrade because we were getting some better jobs. I going from Pittsfield to New York, I mean going from Worcester technically to New York, but these
Yeah.
Massachusetts towns, it was a big shock for me. It's difficult for me to be disconnected from nature. I'm used to living in the woods. I'm used to driving on Swamp Road to get to the Unicorn Theater with there's no street lamps for that big stretch on Swamp Road. That's my neutral. So then being in a space where you're never more than 6 feet away from any other human being at any given time, it's like it does something to your brain. It's weird because being somewhere like the Berkshires, it's hard to go to a city with a population of millions and millions of people and set aside the feeling that every single one of those people has hopes, dreams, a family, and dignity. Like there's too many of them.
Yeah.
It's so hard to humanize all of those folks. But we got to do a lot of work in and out of New York. We would fly out of New York to
Oh,
work
good.
regional gigs. I worked at Sleep No More at the McKittrick Hotel for 2 years. I saw that show from just after its reopening after the pandemic all the way
Yep.
through to the closing performance. I
Wow.
was lucky enough to be
That is good.
in those last loops of that show. The last show, it was just the alumni from the 15-year run of that show as the audience. They invited, it was 500, I think it was 500 former employees and performers.
Amazing. Yeah.
And we were just doing the show for each other. It was one of the most cathartic experiences ever. I learned so much about myself working one show for 2 years, right? Do it, same thing. Not just the same thing, like I sit at the desk and I do the no, like reaching with the right hand, grabbing the cup with the right hand, reaching with the left hand, like doing
Wow.
the
Yeah.
same thing for 2 years taught me a lot about
Sure.
wanting to write, wanting to learn how to play the piano. The guys in the jazz bar there taught me jazz. That's why I sort of got the misplaced confidence to pitch this show to Berkshire Theatre Group. I said, well, I should just have my own show.
Yeah, what's
And
up?
they said yes, and here we are. And I'm so glad that they
Yeah,
did.
cool.
I like to think that we did a good job, and that we'll do a good job again. But it taught me so much about myself. And
Sure.
we had a number of years in Manhattan. And only just this year did we sort of step outside of Manhattan because we wanted a little bit of space. We wanted some grass. We've been fostering puppies now that we're
Oh, cool.
out here, and we want them to have somewhere that I don't want to take a puppy in an elevator to go use the bathroom. There's something about that. It was a little dissonant for me. So we've continued to track along the responsible adult path. But the fact that we're able to do that as artists
Yeah.
is mind-boggling to me. I mean, this room that we're in right now, this is only my office. This isn't the office and the dining room and the laundry room, the way
In a
that like
lounge.
in the city. Yeah, and the lounge. It was one room for like four different tasks. This
Wow.
is
Yeah.
tape auditions right here behind me. This is the office. I have the piano sort of in my desk. I built this desk around a piano that I've got You won here. It's we've our journey has we're very lucky. We're really, really lucky that things have gone as well for us as they have. We hop on a train and we're in Manhattan like before you know it. It's a blink of an eye. Our commute from where we were in Manhattan to where auditions were, it was like 30 minutes, 35 minutes door to door in Manhattan. Now it's what, like just an hour? Our commute only went up by 25 minutes. We're like 40 miles away and it only went up by a couple minutes. It's like the same. It's
Well, my son used to
unbelievable.
live in Tribeca.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then after, not COVID and all, they moved out to Scarsdale. And like he said, that it's a train ride, but it's a different world.
It's not the Berkshires, where we
No.
are. It's still happening. There's traffic. I mean, I-95, forget about it.
Yeah.
Whatever jokes I can make. It's not as removed as I'm used
Right.
to every time we get to go up to Pittsfield, but it's like just the fact that I can breathe and hear my own heartbeat is I don't think I had a single dream the entire time we were in New York. Not
Wow.
dreams like hopes and dreams. I don't think I dreamt when I slept. Like
Wow.
I was always listening to the sounds of like sirens and people shouting, and it was we lived there.
Yeah.
We sure lived there, and now we work there, and I think that
Right.
that's great.
Yeah. Now, how do you and again for the listeners and the viewers and the kiddos that have this dream, what's your advice?
It's so hard to say because it's difficult to give specific advice because no one, if there's one thing I have learned from my mentors in this industry, those who continue to mentor me, those who have moved on and taught me things before they left us, it's that there's no one path to the same place, if that
Yeah.
makes sense. It's you look at someone who has their position as an actor, take your pick, an actor in the company of
Yeah.
XYZ,
Yeah.
at the Berkshire Theater Group, even, because a BTG has such fantastic casting processes and hiring practices that a lot of
Now
the
they have
people,
David Atkins.
and now they have, I heard they have David Atkins.
Yeah.
I
And
was on the phone with David yesterday. He's
he actually said hello to me yesterday. I was really I
oh yeah.
barely contained myself, but then he ran away. Something about the last time he
I
said
was
hello to
on the
me,
phone.
I hugged him. And no, I don't know what happened.
I was on the phone with David yesterday. He's helping me out with a little surprise for the jazz show. If
Oh,
I'll
good.
say I don't want to ruin it, but he's helping me with some
He's a
work on that
wonderful
side of
guy.
things.
I'd never
He
know.
is he is my I would say if people said you can only choose one mentor, like David Atkins is my mentor. He
Yeah.
like. He is the person who I turn to inevitably on all matters, and I
Yeah.
will take his word as
Gospel.
scripture. Like
Yep.
it's he has invested. I mean, so much of our time we spent, it was the relationship of an educator and a student, and the fact that I have been able to come into a space of calling him my friend as I've grown older and as we've worked together
Yeah.
and spent time together. He is just one of the most fantastic human beings that I have the pleasure not only to work with. Every time I work with him, I have nothing to worry about. It's
Right.
a it's in the back of my I know that we're going to have the best time. I just he's I could go on ad nauseum and often do about David Atkins and Corinne Aimée. I mean, they're both
Oh,
just
they're
tremendous,
hey,
tremendous.
they are wonderful people who openly, and I want to stress that word, openly share their talents with young people and groom people. And that's why I think the world of both of them. And I thank you for being so kind and bringing them up and saying what they've shared with you, because I've seen them do it with others.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic, and they've been what they've been to me for so many people. They give of their investment and their talents readily and openly. They're just magnificent. But I would say like for it's weird to talk to young. I actually, Bill, this is a development from last time we've spoken, but there was a young man who was an engineer at WPI. He just moved to New York City to pursue his passion of acting.
Wow.
He just moved into, he's in the Columbia area. I was producing a sketch comedy show that I wrote with my indie sketch group, and I was performing it. I was just doing everything, and we were putting it on. And I look out in the audience, and there's this young man who I knew was always just as passionate about the art form as I was, and he was significantly younger than me. I think he was a freshman when I was getting my master's, and we met then, and we had some conversations. And I encouraged him. I said, you know, like, let me
Absolutely.
if I crash and burn, then you'll know more information, and you can make a better decision for yourself.
What a
And he's confided in me that I was a role model of his, which I tell him every time he says that. I say, that's not a good idea. I have no idea what I'm doing.
yeah.
He says, no, but you know, you did it. So it's weird with me
That's
carving
the
this path
difference.
that someone followed in my footstep. That's really strange to me to know that
Yeah.
someone did that. That he moved, he was in the Massachusetts area. He has an agent, he's in New York, he's doing auditions, like he's working. And he was a WPI grad. He was a WPI grad who saw me do my crazy thing. And he said, you know what? I should do that too. And he pulled it off. And now he's living in New York, and he's in his first apartment in Manhattan. And I couldn't be prouder of this young man. He's such a talent. And he, it's weird because I'm about the advice I'm going to give is like, don't follow in my footsteps, even though
Right.
he did. But he's carving his own path. Like
Right. Well,
he is doing it the way that he needs to do it. You'll know in your heart of hearts what you need to do today to move the needle of your art form one tick further. Whatever that thing is,
yep.
sitting down and wondering like why it is that you do it and writing about that, or
Yeah.
writing a letter to yourself 5 years from now of saying, I'm just so proud that we XYZ, like, and then mailing it and then getting it and reading it and opening that. Like, be a kid. Be a kid. I would say if there's anything I can advise to people who are like, not even pursuing a career in the arts, but
Right.
just incorporating more artistic expression into their own life, is that like there is a child that lives inside of you that has never aged. It has not aged at the rate that the rest of you has aged.
Right.
The parts of you that have aged were told by older people that you need to set childish things aside. But that is not true. Like, that's functionally untrue. You can act just as curious and excited and wondrous about the world as you did when you were 7. You could do it right now if you just gave yourself the permission to think that way. You can go right now and buy stickers at the dollar store and put stickers on your favorite notebook if that makes you happy. And then you might write in that notebook and express yourself. So you might write a poem, you might write
Yeah.
a song, you might just write the same word over and over, but like you're expressing yourself. And that's what art is, and you can do that right now. There are tiny things that you can do, and even I have to do that sometimes. Sometimes I say, okay, today I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call David Adkins because I need his
Yeah.
help to, you know, help me with this part of
Exactly.
the show, or he's
Yeah.
helping me with a script that I wrote, and I would like him to act in it for me. So, you know,
Yeah.
talking to him about those things, it's those little things. You can do one tiny thing every day, but you have to give yourself permission to just be a kid and just
Yeah.
do thing that excites you.
And you know, too, as an old man, and I am an old man, and I thank God for that, because a lot of my friends didn't get to be old men. But on your gravestone, there will not be the words woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Will be the word I did.
Yeah.
As far as my gravestone, we'll leave that up to somebody else. But I just I what you're saying to me is so healthy to hear for people who are COVID taught us, and I tell people I always used to do BCC week. BCC, I'd have everybody on because BCC gave so many of us our start. And the thing is this. You're in a job, you don't like it, it's dead end. COVID showed us jobs are jobs. They can
Yeah.
end tomorrow. Careers are careers. You may hit a bump, you may have to turn, take another course, whatever. But that career is what you should be aiming at, not just employment.
Yeah, if I was an engineer when I was back when March 2020 hit, I could have been furloughed the same way that I was,
Well,
working. And I worked the entire pandemic as an actor, thanks to Kate McGuire and the work she was doing at BTG. She brought me
you're
on,
exactly right.
and I had a bunch of work. And the interesting thing of that you say of, like, on someone's gravestone, it'll say, I did at the peril of letting my 4 on my AP history exam show. There's a wonderful passage by President Theodore Roosevelt that I'm a huge fan of, which is, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who
That's
strives valiantly, who errs, comes short again and again, because there is no effort. There is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither knew victory nor defeat.
I don't want to put you at odds here,
Sure.
but if I had a dollar for every time I read that, I'd be in the Bahamas.
It's a
Because,
magnificent path. It's
yeah.
so wonderfully written. I mean, it harkens to, like, a different age of literature and speech. It's such a well-written, I don't know if it was a writing or if that was a speech that
Not
that passage came
either.
from by Teddy Roosevelt. Great president. I mean, just
Yeah.
one wonderful conservationist. But, like, that passage is so great. I read that passage toward the closing of Sleep No More to my cast as we were getting it. I was like, because that was, it was a
Yeah.
3-hour show with no breaks, and people were,
Wow.
sweating 3 pounds of water every single day. It was a magnificent physical effort that those dancers were doing,
Wow.
and I
Well,
was there too. I'm not a dancer, but.
we're starting to run short on time. I do want to
Sure.
tell you, December the 13th, Saturday, 7:30, the garage at the Colonial. There's plenty of parking, there's handicap, whatever you have no excuses. But you better buy a ticket because I'm not sure there'll be tickets after long after the show. And I don't say that because of the show. I say that Tim has his own following here. No, he really does. He has people that he's known from St. Joe and others, but he and his family and the people. I would say probably better than half of the people who went last year will be first in line for tickets again this year. And it's because, there's a lot of people who call themselves entertainer. And then there's a very few, and I mean this, and I've interviewed a lot of people, a very few who live up to the title, entertainer. This guy, when you go in within a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, you're in your seat, you're relaxed, you're captured by his performance, and he's real. I'm so sick of phony people.
Me too, Bill.
Whatever the career field is, I'm sick of people. I am, most people will tell you, I am what you never have to guess if Bill likes you. Because, well, I've never been hateful or rude to anybody, but I also think it's be honest with folks.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing I labor my life by, and I've had to toy with it quite a bit lately, it's not a Republican thing, it's not a Democratic thing. Is it the right thing? John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I'm an old man, been seen a lot, done a lot, some good, some bad, some I regret. But I will never forget my youth and my president, John F. Kennedy. Why? Because he instilled in all of us at that generation, there isn't anything we can't do. And my
Yes.
friend, you are the living proof of that. You've risen beyond, I'm sure, Lil's wildest expectations, and
She loves the updates.
well, and yes, I'll bet she does. I love the updates. I love what you've done with your career. And I wish you the very best. And don't take this as a threat.
Okay.
We're probably going to be there Saturday night.
I am going to now spend probably 8 more hours than I was going to spend really tightening things up.
Well, all I can tell you is I'm just asking Kate to lift a restraining order. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's a procedural thing.
Sure. We'll figure out which seat it is, but and how many feet away from
Last time they put me behind the pole.
Our lawyers will get to the bottom of it.
And I had my Polish wife, so here I was stuck between two poles. But all I can tell you is, my good friend, the best to your whole family, your mom, who has taken wonderful care of me through my illnesses, and your dad, who I think hung the moon. And don't take this as a threat, but if you look out there, you don't have to acknowledge me. And if you do, I prefer to go by my title, that they call me in pulmonary rehab now.
Uh-huh.
Old fat bald guy.
Okay, great. Great. I look forward to seeing which seat they give you.
And to my audience and to my fans, or the people out there, you know, I say this at close of every show and I mean it. God bless you all. And today, rather than put somebody down, lift somebody up, let them go ahead of you in line, let them go. We're all in this together. And as soon as we realize that and start helping each other, the burden gets a lot lighter. Trust me when I say that. Tim, the best to the family, the best to you and your girlfriend. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And to my fans, the two of them, my wife and my son, thank you for listening and watching. Please stay tuned. We'll be back soon. With some breaking news, too. Listen up. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye. Keep on.